Let's continue in our talks from Mark by reading Mark chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. In these verses, we see our Lord indicating that things were different now that he had come. Mark chapter 2, verse 18. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting, and they came and said to him, "Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" So Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins." Some background notes to help us understand this portion of Mark chapter 2. John's disciples, in verse 18, are disciples of John the Baptist. They may have been fasting here because John had already been thrown into prison, and the situation certainly did not look hopeful. But even aside from this, the disciples of John apparently fasted regularly. Not only are they fasting, but we see the Pharisees practice fasting as well. And it would seem from Luke chapter 18 and verse 12 that the religious Pharisees practice fasting twice a week. In verse 21, the Lord gives a little parable about the problem of sewing a patch of new cloth on an old garment. In that day, of course, they didn't have pre-shrunk cloth. So as soon as the garment was washed, the new cloth, of course, would shrink and actually rip the old garment, and a worse tear would result. And then in verse 22, we see another little parable about the wine and the wineskins. In that day, they would store wine in containers made of goatskins. The goatskin was taken and sewed up to make a container for the wine. However, you never put new wine into old wineskins, because new wine expanded as it fermented. So it was no problem if you put new wine into new wineskins, because the new wineskins were still elastic. But old wineskins were brittle. And if you put new wine into old wineskins, then when the new wine fermented and expanded, the wineskins, the old wineskins would break, and the wine would spill out. Well, what's the meaning of these two little parables? Well, that brings us to our doctrinal points. The first doctrinal point is from our Lord's statement about fasting. Christianity is more than legalistic fasting. Christianity is more than legalistic fasting. When they asked the Lord why his disciples did not fast, he said there in verse 19, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast." The Lord is likening himself here to the bridegroom and his disciples to the attendants of the bridegroom. And the point is, you don't fast at a wedding. It's a time of joy. It's a time of celebration. Under the law, there was only one required fast day. It was the Day of Atonement. You read about that in Leviticus chapter 23. Over the years, however, the Jews had added more fast days. In fact, they had added them to the point where, as we saw in Luke chapter 18, it looks like the religious Pharisees fasted twice a week. No longer then was fasting an expression of deep sorrow. It was rather a routine ritual. The Pharisees were fasting legalistically. Our Lord's essential point here is Christianity is more than legalistic fasting. The kingdom of God was at hand. The king was here. Like a wedding, it was to be a time of joy and celebration. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, we read, "For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Romans 14, verse 17. The bridegroom was here. It was not a time for fasting. It was a time of joy and celebration. Now we see that the Lord said in verse 20 that the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. Here's the first hint of the cross in the Gospel of Mark. The Lord is predicting here what's to come. He will be taken from them in death. And the word taken here implies a violent removal. What the Lord meant, of course, was that it would be a time of fasting then because it would be a time of sorrow. Now, he didn't mean by this that from then on they would fast. No, joy would return with the resurrection. Listen to what our Lord says in John chapter 16 and verses 19 and 20. Now, Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me? And again a little while, and you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy." So what the Lord is saying here is that sorrow would come with our Lord's death, but joy would return with his resurrection. Christianity is certainly more than legalistic fasting. Now, I guess we should say something here about fasting for the Christian today. While Christianity is more than legalistic fasting, it's not wrong for a Christian to fast for the right reasons today. We read that the early Christians fasted on occasion. Read Acts chapter 13 and 14 in this connection. But it was not legalistic fasting. In times of prayer concerning serious matters and decisions, there may be a place for fasting today, but it's not to be legalistic fasting. Remember, Christianity is more than legalistic fasting. Doctrinal point number two, Christianity is more than ritualistic Judaism. Christianity is more than ritualistic Judaism. This brings us to the meaning of the two little parables about the cloth and the wineskins. The old garment and the old wineskins represent the rituals and forms of ceremonial Judaism. The new cloth and the new wine represent Christianity, which is new and alive and characterized by the power of the Holy Spirit. There was no way that you could take what our Lord was teaching and preaching and adapt it or confine it to the old forms. God had given the law as a foundation and as a teacher to prepare and lead the way to Christ. Read Galatians 3 in this connection. But now Christ had come. There was no way you could mix law and grace, and certainly you could not put Christianity into the old wineskins of Judaism or use it to patch up the old garment of the old order. The new wine of Christianity must be put into fresh wineskins, which would be provided in the church built by our Lord Jesus. The church as a new wineskin is certainly much more elastic and flexible than the Old Testament law and its forms and ceremony ever were. And certainly that's what our Lord is driving at here. What he is preaching and teaching, Christianity in no way can be put into the old, inflexible, rigid forms and ceremonies of the law, and certainly what the law had become with and under Judaism. Christianity is more than ritualistic Judaism. Practical application. Let's not lose the joy of the Lord through legalism. Let's not lose the joy of the Lord through legalism. Christ has come. It's a time of joy. Remember, we read in Romans 14, verse 17, that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In the context of Romans 14, some Christians were trying to set up a bunch of rules about eating and drinking. No, this is legalism. That's what Paul is writing to the Roman Christians. A sure way to lose your joy is to become a legalistic Christian. Start running your life by a bunch of nitpicking rules. Not only your life, but judging other Christians on the basis of your rules, that'll lead to loss of joy in their lives as well. That's to be legalistic. Now, we're not talking here about obedience to Scripture or being disciplined as a Christian or even about the proper use of Christian liberty. That all has its place. We're talking here about judging the spirituality of other Christians, as the Pharisees did, based on your set of rules. You will cause everyone around you to lose their joy, and you'll lose your joy as well. Let's just take as an example the matter of how much makeup or how much jewelry a Christian woman should wear, or how well dressed a man should be, say, on Sunday. Well, Christians differ here. Now, where it becomes legalistic, if you have your own set of standards, and now you begin to judge not only yourself as to those standards of what you think is right and what you think is worldly, but you begin to judge other Christians as well on the basis of your rules. You start judging their spirituality based on your rules, your set of rules. That's to be legalistic. It's okay to have your own standards, your own tastes, and what you feel would be best in representing your life as a Christian. But when you begin to impose those standards on others, those rules on others, and begin to judge them either verbally or non-verbally, and particularly judge their spirituality based on your set of standards, that's to become a legalistic Christian. Not only will you lose your joy in the Lord, but you'll cause others to lose their joy in the Lord as well. Let's not lose the joy of the Lord through legalism. Practical application number two. Let's not go backwards in the faith through ritualism. Let's not go backwards in the faith through ritualism. Remember that in the two parables, the Lord is teaching that Christianity should not be confined to forms and rituals. We must not hinder or suppress the power of the Holy Spirit. Anytime we move in the direction of a ritualistic Christianity, we are going backwards in the faith. Even if certain good forms and ceremonies become rigid and ritualistic through tradition, so that the Spirit of God is no longer able to have freedom, we are moving backwards in the faith. You know, in some churches today, everything is so formalized and programmed that it's become like a rigid old wineskin, no flexibility, no freedom for the Spirit of God. Let's not go backwards in the faith through ritualism.